Welcome back, everybody. This is Gardening Naturally on a beautiful Sunday morning. I should be out in the garden Sunday morning. Let's go to the phones. This is Bob. Good morning, Bob. What can I help you with?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm an organic growing gardener, very serious, but my eggplant and my peppers are really small. They're beautiful, but they're small now compared to, you know, the springtime and so forth, and these are mature plants that's going through the summer. Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, summer. No, seriously, this is not uncommon in many of our fruiting plants or blooming plants. Our temperatures in the summer allow it to produce a bigger fruit or a bigger bloom. And the stresses that we've gone through during the summer heat, even though we supposedly are doing our best to provide water and nutrient, et cetera, the temperatures involved actually stress the plant to the point where they produce a smaller fruit or a smaller bloom. We can watch this on most of our blooming flowers. Like I mentioned on roses, we get a bigger bloom on the rose in the spring or in the cool weather of the fall than we do in the middle of the summer. The same applies to our fruits. I was getting killer peppers this year in the spring. Great big red bells. They were fantastic. During the summer, I was still getting fruit, but they went from the size of a very big grapefruit to more like one of those little cuties that you would get in the Christmas time, the small oranges. So I'm still getting crop. I'm just not getting large crop. So I expect them all to get large again in the fall when the temperatures break a little. Of course, I'm going to throw one exception in there, Bob, and that's probably going to be the eggplant. I don't know if your eggplant will continue to be productive during the fall cool weather, but you might see. But I'll bet your peppers will start getting much larger as the weather cools.
Okay, that's great. I'll just go ahead and take the eggplant out. I had about 350 pounds of eggplant, so I think my season's over.
Well, now, I do have, there's a test you can do here. If you can leave like one or two of them, just to see if they, in fact, continue to produce for you in the fall. I know you've got lots of eggplant, but you could see for yourself if there was a particular variety that held out, and that would give you clues to next year to help planning on your planting for what kind of harvest you'd get. But in the big picture, it's normally a plant that fades off as the weather gets cooler.
Well, thank you. That's a super suggestion. I'm going to do that. But I think the season's over because they're producing a lot of eggplant, but they're all small.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, great. That's good news. I'm going to leave my peppers in and see what happens.
You should. They should perform for you well into the fall yet. They should do well as long as the temperatures are above about 50.
Yeah. Should I fertilize them a little bit?
Should consider like treating them like you did when you put them in the spring. I mean, they still have a nutrient requirement. And as they start to ramp up in the fall, because they're not so stressed, giving them that fertilizer helps ensure that they can make the larger fruit for you. So, yeah, treat them like you just put them in for the season.
Okay. So I bet a foliar spray, because the bushes are beautiful.
Mm-hmm. You can. That's an effective way to feed them. And it's very, very difficult to burn or overfeed them when you do a foliar spray. But, yes, you can use that as a convenient way to keep them happy.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I appreciate your show.
Thank you, Bob. Let's go to, hey, Forrest, how are you this morning?
Just fine, Jeff. And yourself?
Oh, it's a pretty day. I can't wait to get home. It's going to be really nice outside.
And then look forward to the Austin Organic Gardeners meeting tomorrow evening.
Yes, and that should be a nice night also. It should be a wonderful night to go out and go down and look at the gardens out there.
That's true, before the rain starts.
Yeah. So what's up for tomorrow?
Anyway, well, our speaker is your friend and mine, Linda Wall, and she'll discuss ways to extend the growing season, including row covers, shade cloth, cold frames, cattle panel greenhouses, passive and active heating and cooling to help protect your crops this fall. Now, Linda grows much of her own food in a little farm west of Austin, and growing up, her family raised almost all their food, and so she's got experience raising and preserving just about everything. She also worked as a horticulturist and a class teacher at the Natural Gardener of Austin for over a decade. So her talks are fun and her enthusiasm is contagious. So everybody should come on down to Zilker Botanical Gardens tomorrow evening. And gates open at 6:30. The program is after 7. And as always, the meetings are free and open to the public, and there is no parking charge.
Okay, and really have to emphasize this. Linda's a lot of fun. Her conversations are always great. And those folks who are new to the Austin area, especially some of them folks from up north, are a lot of times are surprised that we can plant in the fall, but we need to take some protections. And Linda's definitely going to cover that for you, no pun intended.
Indeed.
All right, Forrest. Well, we'll send people that way, and thanks for the reminder.
And thank you very much for letting us mention it on the radio.
Oh, you bet, Forrest. Thank you much. Yeah, folks, Linda's a lot of fun. And if you are new to Austin, had a caller the other day. They were from Minnesota, and it's like, wow, it's different. It is. Fall's our best season, but you got to know a couple of tricks. You got to know a couple of things about, we do get cold enough to kill your crop, but there are ways to get past some of that weather. So this will be a great talk, free talk to learn this. You know, I had somebody ask me a question about growing your own neem. I was talking about how neem is the pit of a fruit, the pit of a drupe, technically. You crush it, you get neem oil out of it. It's incredibly famous, and it's been around for about 3,000 years. The problem is neem is a tree, not a plant. And we have not had success, mass production of neem for the purposes of growing it for the oil. Ironically, China berry's a cousin, and it doesn't have the same quality from the China berries, if you crush them, get the oil out, that neem does. It's really unfortunate because China berries we got. We shouldn't have, but we do. And that's one of the reasons that we don't see it in our environment. And also, I have to remind people, when we talk about covering plants, we think about the cactus. Depending on the variety of cactus or agave that you purchased and where you got it from, if you don't have one of our recognized native agaves, the cacti are not always freeze-tolerant. Most of the local nurseries try to bring in varieties that can make it to 15 degrees. We will go below 15 many times during winter. It may only be for a short period of time, but it can be particularly devastating to your cactus. If you have a specimen plant, something that you've got going that you really care for and you really like, you should always consider it covering it when we have a freeze. Not all cactus, not all agaves can handle a freeze. We still plant them around here, and you can pay for the damage if you're not careful. So keep that in mind. Folks, we're up for a break. This is Gardening Naturally. Give me a call. The number's 512-836-0590. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. So when Bill checks in here, we got to ask him, looks like we may be getting some rain tomorrow, which would be great. We really need it. So this is a really good opportunity this weekend to check your mulch. I know that sounds kind of silly. How do you check your mulch? Well, over the season, if you've put mulch down every time you've watered through it or it's rained or just its natural breakdown, it'll start to compress. It becomes less of a blanket over the soil to help the moisture stay in and keep it cooler and keep light from getting to the weed seeds. So you reduce the amount of work you have to do weeding. Before you just run out there and throw another layer on, which is not bad, you can do that. Take your rake and kind of scratch it up. fluff it back up again to see how thick it really is. Remember, you only need a couple of inches. More than that is not adding a whole lot more effectiveness. You're actually kind of limiting yourself as to, well, gee, how much water can get through there when we do get rain? That's a problem. If I make it too thick, water won't get to the plant I'm trying to protect. So a couple inches is fine. And remember, always, always remember, do not pile mulch against the trunk of the plant. Crepe myrtle, tree, garden veggie. The mulch should not be against the trunk because the mulch is decomposing. It's full of biologies that are, their whole purpose is to eat that matter and break it down. It also retains moisture. Most plant stems or tree trunks are not intended to be constantly wet with an active biology trying to break them down. You can damage the tree, you can cause rot, you can have the tree actually fall over because it has been destroyed by someone constantly piling mulch against it. If you live in an HOA, just walk through your HOA once, please. I have found it very difficult to drive through an HOA and find one who's hired a landscaping crew who's doing it correctly and pulling the mulch away from the trees and the shrubs. Most of them, they're piling it right up there and they think it looks nice and neat. And what you're doing is you're paying your HOA fees to hire a landscaper who's trying to kill your plants. So don't pile mulch up against the trunk. You are hurting the plant. And don't pile it super deep. There's no real need to go much more than a couple of inches to be able to get the full effect of what the mulch is supposed to provide. And it is a positive to put the mulch down in the winter. It's not just a summer thing. We are still, when the weather breaks like this, when it gets cooler, when it gets some rain, you're going to see a whole bunch of weed seeds start to germinate because that's the temperature range, that's the moisture range they need. So keeping that mulch up means you prevent them from getting the light, which means you help prevent that germination. So even in the fall, we're still doing that. Even in the fall, we go long periods of time where we don't get rain. And while it's cooler and the plant may not need as much water, it's not under as much stress, having a good layer of mulch there keeps what moisture you have in the soil. So the plant stays happy and you're not having to go out there and water it. So all of the benefits that we talk about mulching a plant that we apply in the summer because of the heat still apply. They are still necessary. Finally, the last thing about the mulch that's super beneficial, it's organic matter. For those of you who use a mulch that's ground bark or leaves or whatever it is, if it started out as organic matter, it's slowly breaking down around the root zone of the plant you're protecting. That's a good thing. It's feeding the soil. It is keeping all that biology happy, which means that soil is getting nice and rich. By having a stable moisture and a relatively stable temperature, we had a gentleman call yesterday asking about adding earthworms to your soil. You should never have to do that. For one, many of the earthworms you would buy in the store are not the ones you would find in your soil anyway. But the other reason is, if you build it, they will come. If I have organic matter in the soil and I have moisture in the soil, I will have earthworms in the soil. And once I have a couple of earthworms, they're going to reproduce, and I'm going to have lots of earthworms, and they are going to break my soil down. They are going to improve the drainage. They are going to add organic matter. They are going to be everything that we are hoping to occur in the soil. They're going to be the little engineers doing all the work. And you don't have to add them. You simply have to give them the most basic of environment for them to thrive there. And that's what mulch does. It breaks down and provides the food in the soil they're looking for. It provides a stable moisture. It provides a stable temperature. It is an earthworm farm. So take those steps now. It's going to be a gorgeous day. This is when you want to be outside doing this kind of work. Now, one other thing you can do, and I really recommend this, you can head out to the Natural Gardener. They got their bulb selection in, and what a selection. Man, they've got all kinds of bulbs in. I was out there just the other day, picked up my personal favorites because I'm always trying to expand the bed of this one particular beautiful narcissus that I have. Just absolutely love it. And they had them in stock. Lots and lots of bulbs. And now is the time to look at planting those bulbs. So their selection's great. There's a whole bunch of them out there. Lots of color, lots of variety. Head out to the Natural Gardener. It's at 8648 Old Bee Caves Road. I believe they're open now. And it's going to be a nice day to just walk around and enjoy the grounds and try to figure out how many of those bulbs you want, because they had such a big selection, is nothing but color. So check them out. That's a good day to do this with this wonderful weather. And speaking of bulbs, you could probably go out there and fertilize them now. We still have warm weather coming, folks. This is Texas. We don't go, oh, it's hot, oh, it's not so hot, oh, it's a little cool, oh, now it's cold. It's hot, it's cold, it's hot, it's cold. It's just a yo-yo around here. It's one of its, some people say it's better quality. So we're still going to have warm weather out there. So take advantage of the cool weather to get out there. If you have bulbs, if you have bulbs that should be coming up soon and you're looking for the bloom, or you're waiting on the fall, the ones that'll show up in the spring for you, you could probably sneak out there with a little rock phosphate, a little bone meal, a small amount, and sprinkle it around the bulbs to help ensure their growth. It can help improve the bloom that you will see. It can make sure that the bulb grows a nice, strong bulb storage so that after it blooms, it'll be strong enough to come back for you the next year. The naturalization project, so that it stays in your soil and you enjoy it every year. But today would be a good day to think about doing that, because it's not going to be cold tomorrow. It's not going to suddenly be cold temperature, but it's coming and we should be ready for it. Folks, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll need to take a break for the news. This is Gardening Naturally. Give me a call, 512-836-0590. We'll be back right after the news. Welcome back, everybody. You know, Bill, it took a little while yesterday, but the afternoon was really very, very pleasant. Can we expect the same today?
Yeah, it was a really nice afternoon, Jeff. We made it into the 60s. We had some sunshine. I think today's even a little warmer than that. Starting out with a fair amount of clouds this morning. We had a few sprinkles around earlier in a few spots, but I think we're dry going forward. We'll probably see the clouds break for sun, and we'll go up to 78. So we have to remember our normal high this time of year is still in the 80s. So a day in the 60s like we had yesterday, even a day in the upper 70s today, is below normal. But we'll be returning to normal tomorrow with temperatures back in the 80s.
Well, and tomorrow will be a little warmer, but maybe a little wetter.
Yeah, it does look like some showers and storms will be around for tomorrow. Again, we can't find that washout that we really need to catch up in the rainfall department. Just some showers and storms scattered about. It's about a 40% chance of rain. I think Tuesday, pretty similar, maybe closer to 40% as another cold front approaches. Going to see some heat build in just for a day on Tuesday, 91, and then that front moves through. Behind it, we're probably back in the 70s for a couple of days beginning Wednesday.
Well, you know, Bill, there's absolutely nothing to complain about in that, as opposed, and that's pretty good for me, because I can find something to complain about in anything, but that sounds like...
No, not you, Jeff. No, never.
That sounds like this is going to be a pretty nice week. We going to stay back into more normal temperatures for, you know, the next weekend?
Yeah, the roller coaster goes back up the tracks, as we've been seeing here the past couple of days. It's back in the 80s on Friday and the upper 80s likely on Saturday as well. So, yeah, we can't seem to lock in this pattern change. It seems like we quickly reverse and warm back up. But, you know, the good thing is we're at least getting some days where these temperatures are nice and comfortable as opposed to that stretch we had there for so long.
Hey, Bill, I'm happy. Whenever you say it's not going to start with a 9, we're good. We forgive all ills as long as that temperature stays below those numbers. So we'll let you go, and we'll just look for a nice week. And don't worry, keeping it below the 90, you're still on our Christmas card list.
Oh, okay, excellent. I look forward to that card.
All right, thanks a lot, Bill.
Thank you.
Folks, temperature is a yo-yo. And that happens. You know, I want to make a quick note here. Someone has asked me about fig trees. Cannot emphasize how good fig trees are in Central Texas. They do very well. They take a little bit of effort to get them established because a small fig tree will probably freeze all the way to the ground during the first year or two, and it's not a big deal. It'll come back from its crown until it reaches a point where 1 year it comes back, and it comes back so big that there's enough sticking above the ground that it won't freeze down anymore. If that happens, it's no big deal. Like I said, it comes back. Let it get bigger, and you can enjoy a really, really wonderful, simple crop if you want. It takes nothing for figs to grow here. Now, what variety of figs may be a bit of a question. And part of that issue is most of the figs in Central Texas, the ones that are, I guess you would call native to our area, best adapted, are the brown turkey, the Texas Everbearing, and the Celeste. Now, you heard for years John and I talk about our Celeste fig and how huge it got and how good the fruit was and the quantity. I mean, I could, on a good year, harvest 100 pounds of figs. So I'm a big fan of the Celeste, but the other two are excellent quality figs also. The only rule you really want to worry about is you want what's called a closed eye fig. The bottom of the fig has a little opening in it because the fig's an inside-out flower. That opening needs to seal over as the fig is growing so you don't get a bug called a fig beetle to crawl in there. Had bad fig beetles this year. Know lots of people with figs who had them. Just an odd year. Hopefully we won't see it again next year. Fig beetles make the fruit sour. They're nasty. Nothing worse than biting into a fruit and seeing a bunch of bugs come out. It's really gross. But normally the Texas Everbearing, the brown turkey, and the Celeste are closed-eye, reliable-growing figs in our area. All of them can get quite large. My Celeste is 35 feet wide and 25 feet tall. It's almost 50 years old, so there's that about it. And if you go to Boggy Creek Farm, you go to the farm stand, they've got two gigantic figs right there outside the door of the farm stand. So the trees can get very, very large, so make sure you give them enough space. You can trim them down to make them fit, but make sure you give them enough space if you're not going to do that. Folks, let's go to the phone. This is Joanne. Good morning, Joanne. What can I help you with?
Good morning, Jeff. I have grub worms, and I just was planting vegetables for my fall garden, and in every hole I dug to put my broccoli and cauliflower in, I had at least one and sometimes two grub worms. How do I get rid of them?
Okay, first off, the trigger point is generally considered to have 5 or more in a square foot of ground. So
okay,
it sounds
I
like
do.
You're pretty close to that based on what you're putting in. The simplest process for controlling them, especially in a food garden bed, is the use of the beneficial nematodes. They won't affect your food. They don't harm the food at all. They let the plant grow. And the beneficial nematodes will crawl into the grub. They eat it. And then we get to see a local version of the movie Alien.
Oh, fantastic.
They're easy to apply, but there's only one rule here, Joanne. They must have moisture in the soil. Being in your garden, that should be easy. You're going to be watering your plants. But if the soil goes dry, the nematodes can die. So keep that in mind, that there's always a little bit of moisture in the soil to keep them alive. But applying them now is good timing because it's cooler weather. It'll take less water. They're in your garden. But they're very effective at eliminating not only the grubs, but fire ants.
Okay. Is there a place north that you know that sell them?
Contact Hill Country Water Gardens and Nursery. I do believe they carry them. They're at 183 and 1431. That's pretty north for you.
Yeah.
You could also check on, in Leander, the new Red Barn is open up there. So one of those two places should have you covered with them.
Fantastic, because you're just a little far south from Parmer and Mopac.
I fully get that one, but try north. They should have them.
All right. Thank you so much for your help this morning.
Thank you. Folks, we're coming up on a break here. Doyle, I see you there. If you can hang on, we'll catch you right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone. This is Doyle. Good morning, Doyle. What can I help you with?
Well, good morning, sir. Let me close that door so you can hear me a little better. So I have a native brown fig in my backyard that actually came up from my neighbor's tree.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's got its own established tree base and all that. It's probably got about six major pieces to it coming up out of the ground and things. My question, I'm up to a point now where it is, I'd say 16 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And takes the corner of the yard, and I'm okay with that. This year I pulled off a ton of figs off of it after leaving half of them for the birds, so on the higher limbs. My question is, because it's under a power line and I don't want the power line to come in, the power company to come in and trim everything like they do, how do I trim that, kind of pull it back some? When should I pull that back and trim it back so that it grows and I still keep my crops?
Okay.
Makes sense?
Good news. Yeah, good news part about it. Figs are formed on new wood. So if you trim it, it's going to put on new smaller shoots where you want them to be. It's fine to remove it. So you're actually not going to lose any of your crop. I would wait until all the leaves have dropped and we're truly dormant. We're going to be talking cold weather of end of December, January timeframe. You can cut the tree at that time, and, you know, you can just go put a blindfold on and start swinging a chainsaw, and you're not going to bother the tree. No matter what you cut off, it's going to be like, yeah, okay, I'll put on new growth. So you can eyeball it and go, this big branch is going to be a problem at some time, and cut as low as you need. Now, I suggest if you're taking a big, heavy branch off, you take small chunks just to make it easy on you. But you can trim that thing back. Gosh, you could cut it in half if you want. And it'll just put on a whole bunch of new shoots from the edge of where you cut the wood. And you'll have it fill itself back in. It'll look okay in spring. And it'll double down again by the next year. And you're still going to get figs. Here's the only bad news about the equation. There's no, I'm going to trim it, and it's not going to grow that way anymore. You're talking about fairly regular maintenance. So if you're pretty aggressive about it this year, you can have a 2 to 3 year window before you have to worry about it again.
I don't have a problem with that. My wife was really the one looking at it more, and she's going, okay, it's dropping all the leaves. When do you trim it? I went, I will find out before I trim it.
Well, even though it's dropped all its leaves right now, mine's still got a few on it. Do it in the really cold, because if you make a cut now, our temperatures are going to bounce around enough that it'll still be in the range of it going, oh, wow, you cut me. I need to put on a new shoot. So wait till it's good cold weather and you can hack away at it.
All right. Thanks, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, folks, that's one of the nice qualities about a fig, aside from being a really amazing fruit, both botanically and in terms of flavor and its reliability here in Texas. My gosh, it's a black thumb plant. If you say you can't grow anything, if you can get a fig started, you're going to have fruit. And if you take the approach that Doyle has, I do this too, I know a lot of people that do. If you take the approach that Doyle has, where it's like, you know what, I'm just going to share some with the birds, I'm going to get plenty, you'd be much happier with your fig tree. So I walk out every spring, I stick my arm up in the air, and I tell all the birds that'll listen that if I can't reach it, if it's above my arm, they can have it, and we work out a great relationship, and I get a ton of figs, and so do they. But a fig is a great plant. You just got to give it some room and understand it's going to get fairly large, but it's going to give you a fantastic fruit that is so delicious with low requirements, very few, very, very few pests, very few diseases, and away you go. It's just going to produce for you, so it's a great choice. Those of you folks who have one wondering about trimming them back, wait for dormancy. Dormancy is a period of time where the plant is still alive, but it's not actively growing. Dormancy can be induced because of temperatures. Dormancy can be induced because of stress on water. Some plants go dormant in the summer. Some go dormant in the winter. When it's dormant, that means if I trim it, it's less likely to suddenly put on new shoots. And we don't want to put on new shoots in freezing weather, though you could just freeze off. So we're almost at that window for attacking your fig. Let's go to the phone. This is Andy. Good morning, Andy. What can I help you with?
Hey, back-to-back fig questions. My wife and I got a fig because we've noticed the same thing about ones that exist. They just grow and grow by themselves. So we picked a beautiful one. It made purple figs. It made them the first year. It was probably in a 15-gallon pot. We put it in the middle of the front yard, made a ring around it. It was going to be beautiful. It was 10 feet wide because we know how big they get. Well, it's just frozen every year. So every year it's about 2 feet tall again after it picks up from the ground. So I'm assuming that this beautiful purple fig that we got at a good nursery would not be the right one. It's never going to probably, if it ever did get to be 5 feet wide, it would just freeze down to the ground again and we'd be back to zero. Am I right? And I should get a whole new brand probably.
No. Still have a good chance of getting it. Sounds like an LSU purple. My question is this, how long's it been in the ground?
I guess this would be 3.5 years.
It hasn't established itself yet. I have one that's almost 5 years old, and it still freezes back to the ground. I have one that took 3 years, three consecutive freeze to the grounds before the next year it put on enough growth to stay above the ground. It's a little young yet. It may freeze back another year or two, but it will finally reach a point where your summer growth will be large enough that it will finally set itself, and you'll see it get bigger. So it's not a bad fig, and if you replace it, you'll have the same problem with a new one. It's just a question of giving it a little time to grow up.
Well, no lie. I did not expect that answer, and so I've got an old, ancient recycling trash can that whatever they are, about 75 gallons or whatever, I can still turn that thing over it. Maybe I could just leave it over there all winter so at least we won't freeze this year or something.
Excellent suggestion, and that may allow you to keep up its growth. Andy, I'm up against the top of the hour. Thanks for the call. Folks, this has been Gardening Naturally. If you got a question, hang on. Cheryl's up next.